Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gray's Academy. You have your two favorite hosts, most beautiful hosts on the entire planet, the tallest, biggest-hearted, Christmas-loving hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful afternoon for a podcast.
Yeah, on Friday. Afternoon.
I mean, it's Thursday now.
Well, yes. Also, I just every time I see that tree, it just reminds me of Christmas. That's why I said that. Obviously, we love all holidays. We never turn down an excuse to celebrate a holiday. But I'm wearing green. I'm wearing Christmas green, pine green right now, which is very festive.
Very merry mama.
Wow, look at that. You know, I went to Meijer the other day. I don't know if you guys have Meijer around you.
We do not have Meijers. Wait, is it Meijer? I thought it was plural. Is it just
I think
singular?
It's just a singular Meijer.
I thought it was Meijers. I don't know.
But the things that Meijer owns would make it Meijer's stuff. But I don't remember. I have to get clarity on that. But I believe it's just Meijer. And I went to go buy these like elf sock shoes that I was going to wear to work one day.
Uh-huh.
And the sign said $5.99. And I get up to the front and they were $24.99. So I'm like, I like these. But I don't $25 like these. I $5 like them. So I didn't get them.
Oh, you didn't ask them to give it to you?
No, I said, fuck it, I'm out. For that reason, I'm out. So, anyways, hello, everyone. This is not the normal day. It's Friday, TGIF, not TGIT, today. But I did just want to share with you guys a little bit. We are a day late because of me. My wife, Jessica, and I made the tough decision to send our little boy, General Grievous, our little doggy boy, over the Rainbow Bridge. He lost a couple-year battle to epilepsy. He's been dealing with it for a couple of years. Sweet, sweet Kelsey was so quick with, that's fine. You're good.
Well, I tried to talk to you last week and be like, let's think about this. And Carmen, in his wisdom, was like, I think I'll be okay. And I was like, okay. And I just kind of anticipated a little bit because I've also unfortunately lost animals. And it is the worst part about having animals is that at one point you don't get to have them anymore. And especially with Grievous, he was also an integral part of our lives when we lived close together. So it was a hard day for all of us.
Yeah.
Obviously the hardest for you, but I hated it. Yeah. I also was telling Jessica, I just like hated not being able to be there for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. We're very fortunate that so many of our friends thank you. I know you guys got us some flowers and a card, and that was just so, so sweet. We came home from the vet, and it was there, and we were just sitting there. A lot of crying. At one point, we got up to leave, and we were like leaving, and I just laid back down on the floor again, and I just was like completely like stomach to the floor, sprawled out in the vet office with him and his body. And you know, I don't want to make this a downer, but I just want to thank you guys for your patience.
I think it's good to be real.
Yeah. So many of you, especially those of you who are with us in Patreon, have said so many kind things and direct messaged me, and I appreciate it. So many people from Instagram who follow the show, saw my post, who follow the show, saw my post, were very, very kind. And I just can't thank you guys enough for how much that means, to me. But yeah, it sucked. And we have there's this table downstairs that, Grievous chewed the corner of like very early on. It was before, Like we'd had him for like a week and a half, and one day Jessica fell asleep on the couch and he started chewing on the table, and she woke up to him chewing on the table. And even today I was downstairs watching the episode before recording this, and I looked at it and I got a little emotional because it's, you know, it's like a lasting thing that it's, you know, we'll have that little area as long as we have the table. But so, yeah, we're here. We are Friday morning, and we're talking about dogs. Kelsey, hopefully maybe getting a dog.
Yeah,
maybe.
We put in an application for a dog because it just happened to come up on I made the mistake of following a local pet rescue. So they post pictures every time they have new dogs.
Gotcha.
And they posted one. It was a Doberman, and I just happened to show it to Michael because he loves Dobermans. That's one of his like dream dogs. And I'm always been on the like into like we always just went to the pound growing up. People have different views on this, whatever. We just always went to the pound growing up. And I was like, the only way you're ever going to get a purebred dog is if I just find one at a pound, or there's like one at a rescue that needs rescuing. There happens to be. So we put in an application, but we'll see.
Yeah.
It's a puppy, which is not really what I'm looking for, but might be what happens.
Yeah, it's dogs, the way they come into your life and the way they impact it is obviously so, so very wild. It's we were in the car driving away from the vet, and we had talked going into that whole situation about how we were going to wait until after the wedding in August or July to get another dog. And as we're sitting there, I'm sitting at a turn lane at a light, and I just out loud say, Jessica, I think I want to go to the Humane Society right now today and get another dog. And she goes, we should maybe give it
sometimes,
a second.
Grief
is weird.
Grief
and we just did a whole episode from
to make big life choices.
Yeah. So anyways, we didn't do that, but I did keep, I'm still looking with breeders and keeping up to date with the Humane Society shelters near our house as well. So
yeah, when we didn't have a house, the Humane Society near us posted that they had gotten a litter of Great Danes. And I said, Michael, you better count your lucky stars that we don't have a house right now, because there would be no conversation. I would have gotten that dog, one of them, if not as many as they would give me.
Just a fleet of Great Danes.
That's all I want.
Goodness.
That's why I want land. Michael wants land to have land. I want land so I can fill it with dogs.
Yeah, and they each get their own house, and they know which house to go into at the end of the night.
Some Highland cows for them to be friends with.
Yes, and a couple llama for good measure.
Oh, yeah, always love a llama.
Yeah.
Just to spit on you and you're feeling down.
Yeah, anytime you're down, llama just fucking spit on me, please. So anyways, Grey's Anatomy, but just, yeah, we wanted to thank you all for that. But without further ado, please make sure to follow all of the Instagram, the pages, the at Grey's Academy Pod, at Carmen.Gabriel.Official, at Catically Kelsey. We post all of our updates on the Grey's Academy Instagram there. If you want to send an email to Kelsey, send it to Grey'sAcademyPod@gmail.com. And also, so much Patreon content is coming out. The Discord has been absolutely on fire. We added a new chat thread for personal stuff, because we're trying to create an awesome community. And
so far, so good.
So far, so good. And no spoilies even in that page. So patreon.com/Grey's Academy Pod. Please make sure to do that. We love getting to see new members coming in. And we've got a lot of private practice content coming up. And with that, Kelsey, I'll turn it over. I don't know if we have any. We have one shout out, right? We had the person who sent you screenshot that. I also I have another shout out, too.
Yes, Becca. Different Becca than the last Becca that was shouted out. Messaged me and was like, oh, I was listening to the podcast. She recently found us, so she's getting caught up. And Carmen said, shout out to Becca. You know who you are. And she said, I am Becca, and I do know who I am, but I had not talked to either one of you, and it was before I started listening, so I knew it wasn't for me. So, shout out to that Becca. You know who you are.
Yeah, Becca. She sent me the screenshot. Also, I think she just followed me, too, which on Instagram, so thank you for that. Also, Nina, you know who you are. You are the one who's going for your social work degree, because the world needs more social
workers.
That's so cool. Yes. And we were messaging back and forth for a while, and she also feels the same way about Derek that you do. And I really appreciate it. We had a lot of good back and forth conversations, and I'm hoping the rest of you guys out there listening are just feeling all of the warmth in this winter season from our podcast. Just keep it coming.
Yeah, Becca says she listens in two different places, because she listens on one to get caught up, and then on the other app she like re-listens to help fall asleep. And I was like, that is amazing. We help you fall asleep. As two people who are huge fans of sleep, as we discussed last week.
Yes.
That made me feel, I was like, wow, I am doing good in the world if I am helping people sleep.
The last thing that I want, though, is for someone to be like on the cusp of dozing into those sleepy, sleepy cloud lands. And then they just hear me yelling, "Livin' in Shondaland."
Maybe that "Livin' in Shondaland" has been in people's dreams because you're singing it while they're asleep.
Oh, goodness. Speaking of, can I just give one more little dog story to make you all at home cry? So the day after Grievous, and we've been showing Marlo this doggy heaven book that we got from school. The next day, so this is Tuesday, Jess ends up keeping Marlo home and works from home that day because Marlo had a cough and Jess had a cough and they're working from home, whatever. Marlo takes a nap, wakes up, and Jess goes, "How did you sleep, Marlo?" And she said, "Good." And Jess goes, "Did you have any dreams?" And Marlo goes, "Yeah." And Jess goes, "Well, what'd you dream about?" And Marlo, unprompted, goes, "My doggy." And just daggers. Just fucking sobs. Daggers.
Sobs for days.
Because there's a line in that book where it talks about how God walks the dog back to earth and checks in on everyone. And when they're content after they sniff around and make sure to mess with the cats to play jokes on them, then he goes back to heaven. And it makes sense that he waited no time to come back and check on Marlo.
That does track for Grievous.
Yeah.
He was a loving gentleman.
Yes, yes. But that's it. No more dog stories today. No one, put your tears away. If you got to blow your nose, it's only because you're sick like me. Everything else, no more crying.
You're so nasally. Who would listen to your podcast? You're so nasally.
I'm going to blow my nose right now.
This is the fourth episode of the sixth season. It is episode 106 overall. And it is called Tainted Obligation, which is a song, allegedly.
Yes. So Tainted Obligations, it is a song. It is written... So the link that you sent me was by REM. It's not because
that's
actually
what the site. But then when I was trying to find it, I saw it. You do it. You do it.
Okay. So technically, it is by a duo of Michael Stipe from the band REM and Matthew Sweet, and this was written in 1983 under their duo name, Community Trolls, was the name that they went by. So, Tainted Obligation, it was released in a little bit of a compilation. It was going to be released as a compilation album, and it actually didn't get released. It was only brought out in bootleg. So, it was like there was like a cassette of it that was floating around, and people had recorded the cassette and then released it. It was 2002. It kind of came out, and they had done a couple of other Community Trolls songs throughout the time, but... obviously, Michael Stipe with REM had gone on and have that career. Matthew Sweet had gone on to have their separate career. But this whole time took place in the Athens, Georgia scene. So there was a lot of things that happened and things that went down. But they always stayed they stayed friends through this. But yeah, it's a bootleg song, which is very interesting to me that it made that release. But the lyrics were very interesting, though. So I saw the shoals at night with the moon above. I felt an obligation and heard your voice again. If you were here once, you were here 100 times. If I reached out tonight, I found I couldn't fight it. If you were here once, you were here 100 times. Just interesting stuff. It's good lyrically, but there's no way to download it for me off of iTunes, so it did not make it to the library. but even if it could, it wouldn't. I'm so sorry.
Wow. Shout out to my dad, stars. Who's like a huge, huge REM fan. Has seen them in
concert.
Did
he know it? Did he know the song? Like,
I haven't asked him, but he's seen them in concert like I think like 13 times, including their final tour.
Respect.
So I grew up listening to REM. I'm a huge REM fan just because I remember all the albums from growing up.
I love that.
And I was reading when I was trying to find it, because I was like, I don't know this song, and I know like a lot of REM's catalog. And I was reading that it kind of the reason that it came back out so many years later is because they remastered, you know, they started recording in like the 80s. So they remastered so many of their albums later on with, you know, to make it sound better, because it just does sound better now.
Right. Technology.
And so I think they were toying with putting it on one of the remasters, and that's kind of how it came back up to life. And it didn't get on one of those albums, but that's how it made its way to the World Wide Web. But it was interesting to me that a song that is lesser known was the song that this was named for. And when I was searching for it, there aren't really other songs with this name. Like when I searched it in Apple Music, nothing came up.
Nothing
Not
came
like
up.
Other
yeah.
other bands, nothing. So it's interesting. Like, I wonder if there was someone who was like also a diehard REM fan who already kind of knew the backstory of this. And that's how they ended up with it.
But, yeah. And obviously it's a whole theme of the episode of.
Right. Yeah.
What do you do or not do? What's your obligation?
Yeah,
and I.
What's the, you know, yeah. I mean, I think tainted obligation is like a very good descriptor, at least for the Thatcher part of it, for sure.
Yeah. I feel so. Meredith and I are for sure in sync on this, in this episode. It's a very good episode. So where do you want to start?
Well, let me go through the facts and then we'll get.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. We have to do that. That's this is an episode that we are totally prepared for.
I got, okay, so written by Jenna Bans, directed by Tom Verica, also known as
Sam Keating.
Sam Keating. I always forget his first name. I always want to call him like Paul Keating. I don't know why.
Ugh.
Aired October 8th, 2009, 14.13 million views. And the Netflix synopsis is, when Meredith and Lexi's father returns to the hospital with a failed liver, it's up to Meredith to save his life. And I would call that a spoiler.
That is the whole episode. That spoils everything. Although, let me tell you, this episode, good episode, but I think my favorite character of all time in Grey's Anatomy so far exists in this episode.
Hold on. Oh, the old man.
I think he's my favorite patient so far. Irving?
I love that storyline. And while I was watching it, I was like, Carmen's going to love this.
Oh, absolutely.
I really, for some reason, thought that that had already happened. And I don't know why. I think I find this storyline, and honestly, this episode in general, for what it is and for it to like not be like a huge, huge thing, I find this episode to be very memorable. And so I think I thought it already had happened because I just think about this episode a lot.
It's very like what it lacks in drama, it makes up for in kind of just life.
Yeah, like relatability and like just good solid points, good performances, like good stuff.
Yeah. Mr. Waller, a fucking dog. Yeah. My guy. Love this guy. All right. Yeah, let's... Also, so many people dropped off. George is dead, and all the George stans said, I don't want to watch this show anymore.
Yeah, it was like 14. Really? That's like low.
Gotta pump those numbers up here, guys. Maybe they should have killed someone else. I did think... I want you to know... I don't really want to start with Lexi and Meredith and Thatcher.
No.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start.
Izzy Hunt and Cancer Guy?
Yeah. Ugh. Do not like Izzy in this episode.
I don't.
This I feel like shows how you can take something that is normally like optimism, right? You think that's like a great trait. And I'm not saying it's not, but I am saying there is a point where you have to, like, you can't just be like, hope for the best.
Yeah.
And that's this point. And I like it a lot.
That's fair. That's fair. I didn't hate Izzy in some parts, but definitely in regard to the patient and Hunt, well, I guess we're skipping to the end, but Hunt's right. Hunt, good episode for Hunt.
Did you think the patient was going to die? And if yes, at what point did you think he was going to die?
The first time I looked inside of him and saw the glue bottle inside of him.
Yeah, that was bad.
That dude's dying. There's nothing. It's like the spider scene in Lord of the Rings when he's going through
really
the cave.
It really was.
It's nuts. So I was like, cool if they can save him. And when they started throwing percentages in there and they said, well, he's a 13% survival rate. And Izzy's like, I had 5. I was like, okay, you just jinxed this guy. You just compared him. And Hunt even says, when it's a 1 in a million thing, you can't.
Yeah, like you look at, you know, because Izzy's standing right here and you can be like, look at me. You know, I was 1 in a million. Why can't I? Well, because you were. If you can be, then you have to go through 1 million people before someone else can be. That's how odds work.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry. That's on statistics.
Yeah. You can't. They must not teach math in that medical school that she
also,
went to.
What I have for Owen in this one is I like that he still uses it as an opportunity to teach. But he takes he's like, it was my fault. Like, I should have, you know, thought better of it, and I let you talk me into it. He was like, first of all, I put you on this case, which I thought you were ready and you weren't, and then I let you talk me into this thing that I didn't want to do. He was like, it was a me. And I mean, like, obviously he is mad at Izzy, but he's also mad at himself for basically like believing, which obviously with doctors and surgeons, and especially when you get into like terminal diagnoses and stuff, you do want a certain amount of hope, but you also like, it has to be such a fine line if you're in the medical field of hoping and then like, well, if I do this and hope, you know, will I cost this person, like they said, like the couple months that he had left, or I could do it and then give them much longer, like, you know. But I think oftentimes it's more left to the patient to decide, but this time I think they put a little too much. Izzy was just, I was not on her side.
Yeah, I wasn't on Izzy's side for. Let me backtrack. I like how she phrased it in the first time. She said, look, if the patient doesn't want it, I'll shut up and I won't go back. Because I think Izzy has crossed some of those lines before where
Absolutely.
They say no and then she pushes it. And I hope I'm choosing to believe that if they said no, she wouldn't go back and fight it in that storyline because of what she's been through now. But ultimately, she did. They gave this guy the options. He chose to do the surgery, and he lost a couple of months. Yeah, you never want to lose time. Time is
fleeting.
It's crazy to think about, and it's something that's been on my mind a lot naturally these last couple of days. And I think if there was anyone in our life where you had the chance to gain years or lose months, I think that's the high risk, high reward that you have to take.
Yeah.
But if that's not you, then the doctors have to respect that. And I think that's where they were at. They gave the guy the option and they said, okay, you're choosing this. But
I mean,
they knew going into
that
it was
to the extent, but as someone without medical training, you're also trusting the doctors being like, well, if they're giving me this option, then like there has to be a good chance that it will work.
13% is not that good though.
Yeah. But who knows how it was presented? Cause originally like if you say there's nothing I can do and then you come back and be like, well, there is something I can do, I'm going to be like, how sure are you? Cause you were pretty sure a minute ago when there was nothing. So.
Well, science has come a long way in the last 5 minutes. So.
Oh, right.
Forget about that. It's just a bummer, but he wasn't married. They were not married.
Makes it worse.
Makes it better.
It makes it worse that he had a ring.
Yes, it makes it worse. And then that Izzy tells her, kind of mean.
I mean, she would have found it when she was cleaning out all of his stuff anyways. At least that way she knows that he like was telling other people, you know, I do have a ring and I do want to propose and I do love her. I don't know.
For those of you out there who are screaming at your phone asking, Carmen, where do we know this guy from? We know him from New Amsterdam. He is one of the guys, one of the main characters in New Amsterdam. I don't remember exactly his name, but he is a senior.
He is a main character, though.
Well, it's been, I don't remember any of the people's names from that show at this point, but I've watched it through once, and I need to go back and rewatch it because I remember it being very good. But then there were episodes that were coming out on Hulu weekly and we stopped staying live on them. Right. But he's a main character and he was a senior level doctor. He was one of the heads of, I think he was head of cardio, actually. I think he was head of cardio in New Amsterdam. So I recognized him right off the bat. So if any of you have watched New Amsterdam, don't spoil the end of the show, but I have watched a lot of it to remember what happened with that show. That was a good show too. You would like that one a lot, Kelsey, I think.
Also, I just remembered that we need to pay our respects to Captain Holt. Andre Brower also passed away. That was very upsetting. I almost texted you and I was like, don't want to text him this because I know he's already sad about the other thing.
Yeah, I actually... who texted me? Our dear friend Lauren sent me that text, but it was the day after.
It was Tuesday.
Yeah. Luckily Tuesday, I was at work all day, so I was pretty distracted. So
that's good.
Sometimes I handled
the distraction
it.
Is welcome.
Yeah.
But
that's sad. I actually haven't looked into it. Did they describe what happened?
They said brief illness, but there wasn't much information put out when I first saw it. Actually spurned a interesting conversation between myself and Michael, and I was thinking, like, when you're a celebrity or a person in, like, a public figure, like, I got a CNN alert on my phone about it. And I just wonder, like, you know, they work with so many people over the course of their careers. And like, yes, they have people that they're close with and friends and family. But you just wonder how many people that like they are friends with that find out like online like that.
Well, think about Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
The only people who knew he was sick were the people who were in his family, immediate family.
Yeah. Yeah.
The dude was on the set of Avengers doing flips and none of them knew.
Yeah, it's sad. Anyways, it was an interesting conversation that we had just about when you're in the public eye and you pass away and the way that we consume news and everything has to be breaking news. And because I feel like oftentimes when someone in your family passes away, you know, you tell people like you know, and the word travels that way, but not, you know, a CNN alert. But although I will say when my grandfather passed away, because he was a million and he was very involved in the community, like the day after or maybe like a day and a half later in the news, there had already been it wasn't the obituary. There had been like an article written about it because, again, he was like very active in the community and like he had lived here for a very long time. And my mom was like, I don't know how they found out, but saves me from having to tell a whole lot of people. So but like I think the guy who wrote it had been close with my grandfather. So she was, I mean, it was very like well written and it honored him very well. She was like, you know, but she was like, oh, okay. That's like,
that's the kind of legacy I want.
All right.
I want people to write a news article about me when I die. That's all I want. I don't want much in life, but I'm thinking like a CNN alert.
Just a casual CNN. Apple News alert.
Breaking news. Former Gallery 81 frontman and Grey's Academy co-host Carmen dies tragically in a skydiving accident at the age of 213.
You would never skydive.
Oh, I would skydive. I would
really?
Skydive.
That
Absolutely.
Is shocking to me.
I'm not afraid of skydiving.
You don't think that you would break your hand somehow if you did skydiving?
No. No, I would do that.
People break bones skydiving. If they land wrong, then you break bones. Not that hard to land wrong.
Didn't know that.
Hello, I'm here to be a Debbie Downer.
Well, maybe I'll do the indoor skydiving first and see how that feels.
That feels a lot safer, like over a trampoline.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons I stopped fishing so much was because I didn't want the hooks to get caught in my fingers.
I never had that, but one time when I was fishing, I did have a knife because I was trying to, I don't remember if I was cutting the fishing line or like trying to use it to get a fish off of a hook. And some idiot that I was fishing with took the knife out of my hand and like really sliced my finger open. It was one of those things where you have like the adrenaline before anything else. And I would just remember looking at it and being like, no way is this all my blood. And like not even feeling pain, being like, this cannot be good.
Yeah.
We did not go to the hospital, and in retrospect, I probably should, but I didn't eat stitches or anything. So
no.
I mean, maybe I did, but I didn't get them. So
anyway, so the guy dies.
Yeah.
And the cancer guy dies. He ends up there's an intense back and forth in the end. Someone flatlines.
Yeah.
We are led to believe it's either him or Thatcher or both.
Yeah.
Turns out it's him.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. When it comes to like rewatching this, you pretty much remember who lives, who dies, and who tells your story, right?
Oh,
like
so
you
kind of, and who tells my story.
Yeah. I got you. When you even said something about public eye, I was like, I am just a guy in the public eye to do what's right for my republic. Anyways, so do you remember every person as you look at them? You're like, oh yeah, that guy dies. Oh, that guy dies.
I do remember. But like I said last week, I was really convinced that mom died. I don't remember why, but I really thought she did. But for the most part,
which mom?
The mom of the schizophrenic son.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I really thought she died. I'm glad she didn't. But I really remembered her dying. But for the most part, I would say that I do remember if people live or die. This one I definitely remembered because I remember the whole thing with Izzy fighting and being like, I was 5%. But I like when Hunt says, you cannot be a doctor and a patient in here. You have to choose, like, because she's using her story as a patient on the doctor side. And I mean, he's right. Like, you got to remove that because they teach you odds in medical school for a reason. So you can't stand there on your odds as a patient as though that is like the platform for all of your decision making moving forward, because it just can't be.
Right. Or if you're a doctor and you've seen it happen one time, you can't just assume that everyone is going to be the same thing. I was a little unclear at what the scar tissue, how it had happened to form. I had never seen a case that looked like that, where the scar tissue was like a spider web physically in there.
I don't know, because Owen said he originally was in a car accident, and when he came in and Owen found the abdominal whatever, and then he's been in like three times, and this was his like fourth. So I don't know if he was getting treatment or what was going on leading up to that, but it was bad.
Interesting. Anyways, any other things for that guy? I don't know. I thought it was a little bit rough telling the lady at the end, but it makes sense. Because if it was me cleaning out stuff, I would have just thrown away the mouth guard. He was in the case. I would have just thrown it away. Now she doesn't throw away a ring. But 8 years, 8 years they were together.
Don't know if it does, if it makes it better that they weren't married. Like, I just don't know how that makes it better. Can you explain your weird ass thought?
Just to me, the marriage piece is the final thing. Like I'm not saying that my traumas are okay to pass on to anyone else, but I very much believed that up until the I do's, I am single. No matter what, Jessica and I, if we needed to part ways, even while we were engaged, I am single until I am married. And now
you should clarify, because that really sounds like you mean you're allowed to sleep with anybody until
No. I just, there was
I know that's
a different,
not what you mean.
Right.
I just need you to clarify.
To be clear, I've never cheated on Jessica. We were very exclusive, even through long distance for 6 years, all of that. What I mean by that is there was always a little bit of a wall or on my end from like the heart perspective, again, probably because of my childhood upbringing, But there was, it was a mentality of, I am not connected to anyone until I am physically married. And then it is together everything for the rest of our lives. And that was how I just saw it. So that's kind of where my head is at here. They weren't married. They were not even engaged. They were just together 8 years with a condo. So
yeah, I feel like I have to disagree with
that. That's not minimizing love. That's just my truth personally. I would never project that on anyone else.
I just feel as though there's a good chance that's not the majority opinion.
Totally get it. Yeah. I recognize that.
I will say I don't think anything changed when we got married. Like, I don't feel like anything changed.
Even when I was moving to Florida for Jessica, if something happens where we broke up before we got married, I was ready to, okay, all right, whatever we got to do. I mean, it would have sucked. I'd have been sad. But I think that was just, again, the mental wall that I had built up in my life. But it's obviously, it doesn't even exist anymore. And then if there was any wall that existed past that from what my parents had gone through, Marlo just destroyed everything. So, a little puddle of mud. In a good way. Yeah, I just love her so much.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyways, we should take a break. We should take a break for a little bit of a regional sponsor message. We'll be back after these messages, and make sure to buy whatever they sell you, because this is capitalist America, and that's, I guess, our jobs as consumers, to just consume everything. If we want to buy it, we just buy it, right? I don't know.
There's no ethical consumption under capitalism.
We'll be back after these messages. And we are back. Hopefully they were good. If not, don't buy it. Yeah, I guess, you know, make your choice.
I did have a good one the other day when I was listening. What was it? I went to go, like, find... I don't remember what I was finding. I was trying to find, like, a timestamp on something, so I was re-listening.
Okay.
And it was a really good ad, whatever it was. I was like, damn, good for us.
I had a Pete Davidson smart water commercial.
Oh, hell yeah, motherfucker.
Yeah,
I also had, like, one for Julie, which is the, it's not exactly like Plan B, but it's similar. And I was like, this is what we like.
So Julie, not the call before you dig company?
I don't know what that is.
Julie, it's like thing? I guess apparently, I don't know what this Julie, Julie is like Plan B. It's like a safer.
It's like Plan B, I think. I think it's you like can Plan order C? It in the mail, though. So, like, in states that are rude, you can order it via the mail, and it's legal, I think. I don't know. I'm not giving legal advice. Anyways, Grey's Anatomy. We're going off the rails again. Grey's Anatomy.
All right. So, who should we talk about now? Should we talk about a little bit of the merger situation, or do you want to talk about one of
either? Yeah, let's either. Talk merger, Weber, Cali,
okay,
all that
perfect.
Good.
So the next episode will pretty much just be a bloodbath of Thatcher and fucking Penis Man.
Meredith and Mark and, yeah.
Love it. Also, we need to point out the opening scene with these guys, 6 a.m. is when their alarm went off, and it was one of those old alarms where the radio turns on right away. Did you have one of those growing up?
There was one in my house. I didn't use it. My parents used it.
I remember I had one of those iHomes.
Oh, that's what I had.
Yeah, so I had one of those iHomes. But for some reason, every time I would have it on the dock charging, ready to go with music in the morning, it would default to a radio station. And I would set it up all the time. It never really worked. It was like a hit or miss. I would either get, like, Beastie Boys Sabotage to wake up in the morning, or I would get some fucking radio station saying, it's 7 a.m. and you got to hit that traffic today. It's really looking bad on the Dan Ryan going uptown to Chicago. Helicopters in the sky. I'm not going to keep doing this, guys. I'm not going to keep going with that bit, but you get what I mean. It was wild to see that throwback and see a radio waking them up in the morning.
One time I had thought I had it put on a nice song to wake up to, and I had accidentally selected the theme song from the Saw movies. That was very jarring. It was not a good way to start my day.
Gosh, I've actually seen all of those movies.
Oh, really? They're yucky.
They were not as scary as they were yucky.
No, they're just gory. I like the puzzle of it. Like, I like to try and figure out the twist. That's what I like about them. But I look away for a lot of it.
The first time I ever saw any of those movies, there was a girl that was interested in me and invited me over to her house, and her friend was there. I didn't know she was interested in me, but the other girl was cute, so I was making moves. And then she ended up leaving because I was making moves on the other girl. And that girl and I watched all the Saw movies together.
Quote, watched the movies.
Well, you know, from what I remember of the Saw movies, although
I know
the first
how you watch movies.
It's true. The ending of the first one did blow my mind.
There's an Aziz Ansari bit about it, where he's like, everyone's like, oh, that's such a great twist. It's such a great twist. And he goes, well, I didn't want to watch the movie, so I went on Wikipedia and I read the summary, but I stopped before I got to the last paragraph. And then I got on YouTube and looked up, saw one ending. And let me tell you, I did not see that shit coming.
So funny.
Anyways.
Fucking bears in this episode, dude.
Yeah. That's wild. Okay. Weber. So it starts, well, it doesn't start, sorry, but early on we see Weber in the like conference room with all the attendings, and he's like, the hospital needs leadership. And they're like, bro, that's you.
Yeah.
Your leadership. It starts with you. And so then he's like, oh, the Mercy West people are going to be here in 3 days. So buckle up, everybody.
Yeah. It was. So here's the thing. I have been through a merger with a company.
Yeah.
They have the information completely set in stone before they even tell people. It seems like Weber is making it up as he goes.
Yeah.
I'm just confused.
He's like, I just don't have any news to share.
It's happening 3 days from now. We'll figure it out in 3 days. All right, guys, we'll kick that can to the curb. But I have these Danishes.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking Mark. So funny. Mark and Derek are funny in this episode. But they have the conference room situation going on, and everyone starts asking him questions. And he has no answers. Just none. Just absolutely none.
Yeah, and he's just like, I don't have any answers. I know you have questions, but I don't have any answers. There will be more cutbacks and more layoffs.
That scene where Mark is like, oh, he's got good Danishes, though. And then Derek's like, you know how many nurses got fired for that Danish? And the way Mark's got a lot of physical comedy going on in this episode. Yeah. It's good.
Mark good. Episode. Damn, I love Mark.
Yeah. He definitely is. He's right up there right now. I think he's like my favorite character.
Yeah, probably.
But even leading up to some of those last scenes, we get a lot of Callie and Arizona dialogue. We also, I think we finally get that Weber did fire Callie. I don't think we had that officially up to this point.
Yeah, it was weird. But she kept saying, I have to go ask him for his job back before. Like, after he's fired me already. So, I guess him saying there's not a job for you is her getting fired. I don't know.
Well, I'm led to believe, in my personal interpretation of it, is I'm led to believe that she went off on him in front of the hospital, and then later he came back and was like, yeah, you fired. You can't be doing that. You made me look like a fool. And then Kelly probably said, but you do that for yourself already. I mean, that's my truth. That's what I hope she said.
Yeah. And then.
When she's walking with Arizona through the babies and she's like, I can just open up a daycare. And she's like, ew, that one just spit.
Ew, babies.
Yeah.
Babies are not for everyone. Talking about it to Arizona and over and Arizona's like, just fucking do it. Like, you keep talking about it. Just do it. And then they go have their little lunch in the park. And Arizona's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. Like, there are other things about this merger that suck. And you I just want to have a moment where we are just together and like not thinking about this awful merger. And you won't shut the fuck up about it.
Also, that view can't be real, right? Like, that's got to be some sort of AI-generated green screen.
I think it was maybe a green screen, but it was nice.
But if anyone out there is in Seattle or from Seattle, if there's a spot where you can overlook the city and see, I believe it's Mount Rainier? Is that the big one that's
the one there, I think.
Where's Mount St. Helen? Is that Washington?
Up your butt?
Oh. And sometimes it feels like there's mountains up my butt.
What's going on? You need to call a doctor, maybe?
Yeah. Hemorrhoids. Just a lot of hemorrhoids just exploding out of my butt. I'm just kidding, guys. I don't have hemorrhoids. But I use the cream as a proactive substitute.
Nothing. I'm trying to find where it is.
I thought you were actively
about your hemorrhoids.
Gosh, my non-hemorrhoids. Yeah, my femoroids. So the scene that part got me when she was like, I lost my favorite scrub nurse. They were able to, we worked together for what, like 8 or 10 years or something like that. Long time. Knew my every move. And then she said, and also this kid hemorrhaged out and died today. Like it just sucks. This is all bullshit. Can we not talk about this? And Callie's trying to show her this list, a 50-point list.
50 things.
You think Weber is the kind of guy? Yeah, Weber's not the kind of guy that's going to let you sit there and get all 50 of those points out. He's going to cut you off after 3.
Like, I have no doubt that there are 50 reasons to hire her, but, like, that's too many points. Calm down, please.
Yeah, any time I've ever been in a leadership role, if you feel of a 50-point presentation, I don't want to hear it. Give me your favorite 2.
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a big one. A big one just came out.
Was that a toot?
No. My nose blowing. But she gives her. Oh, do you have where Mount St. Helen is?
Oh, they're both in Washington State.
Oh, okay, all right. And oh yeah, Seattle is Washington. Gosh, I'm fucking dumb sometimes. I said, I think that one's in Washington.
I was like, did you think Seattle was a state?
No, I just forget. Sometimes I think that Portland and Seattle are in opposites.
Oh.
Portland, Washington, Seattle, Oregon.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington. Yeah, I might get them mixed up every once in a while.
I see what you're saying. No, they're both in Washington.
Interesting. So, but then, Arizona gives at the end. She's like, just fucking do it, because then he'll give you a yes or a no, and then we'll know.
Yeah.
But, like, I need to know if my girlfriend's moving to Cleveland. Which
I like when people say, just, like, either it will or it won't, and then we'll figure it out, versus, oh, it'll be fine. Like, it'll be fine to me is so condescending. And it's just like,
because what if it isn't?
Yeah. And I'm just like, you don't know that anything's going to be okay. You can't just make that declaration. I hate it when people do that. Like, and I know there are a lot of people who don't have anxiety, so you probably truly just believe everything will be okay. But, like, as I can speak for myself, having wild, like, needing medication anxiety, like, it oftentimes does not feel like everything will be okay. And when people just say, oh, everything will be okay, it feels like they're being super dismissive. So I understand, I can look at it as like it generally is coming from a good place, but it's kind of like telling someone to calm down when they're mad.
Yeah.
Like when people are like, oh, just don't worry about it. I'm like, oh, thank you. I had not tried that yet. Oh my God. Why has no one told me that before?
You know, all the Googling that I've done, they never once had an article about just forgetting about it. It's so
just
crazy.
Just don't worry. The argument to me when people are like, well, if you can't control it, why worry about it? That truly boggles my mind. Like, that's why I'm worried about it. Because it's out of my... Like, if I could control it, I would fucking be controlling it.
Yeah. Yeah. I see both sides, because I kind of ebb and flow in and out of those things. I remember, oh man, like when Jessica was doing her C-section, I was like just dying in the other room, right? Mm-hmm. Because A, there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
But it did help me worry a little bit less of like, well, whatever happened, it's going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. And then I was like, Carmen, shut the fuck up, you condescending dick. Sorry, Carmen.
Yeah, goodness. It's wild. Brains are fun.
Yeah, brains are fun. So anyways, love Cali in Arizona. Although I just don't understand why Cleveland is the only option. Like, I don't understand. There's got to be something closer.
I guess because like Mayo Clinic is there, and that's like one of the top hospitals.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess that's like why they keep saying Cleveland specifically. Or maybe she knows someone.
Oh yeah,
in Cleveland. So maybe she like has an in or something.
I'll tell you, I love all you people who are, you know, listening here, and you're living in Ohio, but no amount of money would make me move to Cleveland. It's not happening.
I'm good.
As a White Sox fan, I can't do that. I can't go live in Cleveland. Do you want to talk a little bit about Alex and Izzy's situation, or is there anything else you want to add with Cali, Arizona, Weber? Oh, the end scene with Weber and Cali.
Oh yeah, the important one.
the big one.
The
yeah.
resolution is all. Yeah, so Cali goes in to the conference room as Weber is sitting there amongst the pile of Danishes, just staring out.
So disappointed. I would have taken three or four of those to go.
I would have taken the platter.
Please. I got an apartment
on
of
a
people.
Plastic platter. Lid's going on. It's going to my house.
Yep. There
I'd we eat go. Breakfast. All right.
Throw a little bit of saran wrap on there to get it home.
Yeah. So he says, she walks in and says, are you okay? And he says, I have responsibilities to make this hospital the best medical facility it could be to repair what I have broken, even if it was 20 years ago. If I am now the bad guy, if I am the villain here, well, so be it. And she's like, this must be really hard for you. And then he says, thank you. And she was like, well, I was gonna, I'll go. I'll see you later. And then he says, go see HR tomorrow. Tell them you're an attending and you need a new badge. So, resolution.
And a good one. Yeah, finally. Weber, because he can just make any decision he wants,
yeah.
just decides. But you know what? They need a good person. And I'm sure that she's making less than the attending who's there now because they said he's an old dinosaur
and
guy.
She's
he's probably making a shit ton of money.
In significantly more.
Right. So, if he's looking at it from a fiscal responsibility standpoint, yeah, Callie's the right choice. You know, all those dinosaurs are probably
getting
cut.
But also, at no point has anyone asked him if he's okay. So maybe he's just rehiring her because he's like, look, someone who's pretending to care about me.
I don't think that she pretended to care.
No, she's not pretending. Someone who cares.
It is coming from a unique place. And I think it probably means a lot to Weber of, hey, I fired you and you're still coming and saying you good, bro. And that means a lot. It's a high integrity person. You want a high integrity person around.
Yeah. For
whenever
sure.
you can make that happen. And, but yeah, he's like, go to HR and get your fucking badge. Let's do this shit.
Let's party.
Which she deserves.
Party in ortho.
Also think about the ramifications from a TV show representation standpoint. They have a woman who is gay as an attending in their seniority level for the hospital. That's dope.
Yeah.
So good on you for
because
multiple.
Also Arizona.
Oh, that's right. Well, she's an attending.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My bad.
Remember she replaced that guy who fell down dead.
That's right. I forgot she was an attending.
Mm-hmm. So
love it.
Yeah, good episode with Callie in Arizona. They're still good. They're still cute. Callie's back. We don't have to listen to her worry about not having a job anymore, at least.
Did I predict she was leaving the show?
Yeah.
I predict she's staying. Okay. I predict that she's going to be an attending and she's going to go tomorrow to get her badge from HR.
Cool. As she was told to do.
Yeah, I predict that she's going to follow through and not get into a car accident on the way there and die.
Okay. I don't think you predicted she would get in a car accident and die. You did predict that she was going to leave the show and leave Arizona, but then Arizona was going to leave to go with her, maybe? I don't remember.
But I think Han's going to come back and try to break them up.
Bye.
Tomorrow, before she goes HR.
How is she going to try and break them up is what I mean.
Oh, she's just going to strip nude and do the naked.
I really thought you were going to say by having a threesome. I was trying to set you up for it.
But the threesome wouldn't break them up. Oh, with Mark. Oh, threesome. Well, they break up Lexi and him, too.
Wow. Han's coming in and really doing some damage.
And then Bert comes back and has sex with Han. And then they break up. No, that was a series show wrap on Preston.
Yeah, I think that was it for Cali and Arizona.
I think we've got some more time to talk about one other smaller storyline. So I'm thinking either we could talk about the Christina storyline just in general, like her. She had a good, you know, redemption arc, but she had kind of like a weird episode. But also Izzy and Alex have an interesting dynamic going on in this episode here with their living situation.
Yeah. So there's a bear. Also, okay, let's back up a little bit. Alex is trying to get ready for the day.
Unrealistic bullshit. This is fucking dumb.
They don't have towels.
Yeah.
He's using like paper towels and napkins, dish rags to bathe. He is brushing his teeth and the water doesn't work. So he takes an old beer can and swishes it around and spits it out with his toothpaste mouth. Then he opens the door and there's a bear and he screams like a little girl and goes back inside, which is fine. And the appropriate
reaction. Which
is
what I would do. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So he wants to move and Izzy's like, we barely make $30,000 a year. Now here's my question.
What?
Exactly. Are they saying that individually they both make separately $30,000 or total they as a couple make barely $30,000 a year? Because I find both of those hard to believe. Now, I have, to my understanding, when they're interns, that's a little more accurate. But like at this point,
they're residents.
They are residents. Like they are established ish. I'm just confused.
They're second years, right?
They're third years because they said that Lexi's a second year now.
Let's see. Average third year resident salary, major hospital. Major hospital? The average medical resident salary, this is Illinois. This is pulling it from Illinois. Excuse me. So sorry. As of November 27th, 2023, is $59,785. But the range typically falls between $53,000 to $66,000. I'm concerned where there are 30. Even inflation is not double.
Even 10, if you say like, later. Oh, financially, there's problems with the merger. No, this makes no sense. They don't have a living expense. Like they're not paying for where they live.
Right.
So what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Izzy doesn't have debt from medical school that has been established.
So
like, so many questions.
The thing that's interesting too is, so residency salary by year. The AAMC notes that the average year one salary is around $858,000, while the average year eight salary is $77,000. Also, I'm just confused. 8 years as a doctor and you're making $75,000? That's it? You're out here saving lives? That's it? Are they they're hourly, right? Because they can get overtime, right?
I have no idea.
Man.
I thought it was billed like by patient, by procedure.
Oh man, I don't know. It says because, that like, on average,
I wouldn't say they're hourly. I don't know, man. Alicia, you know about medical billing. Help.
Yeah. But don't bill us because we can't afford it.
Please.
But yeah, if you're in the medical field, I'm curious, but also the 8 year resident thing, that's kind of wild to me. Is that, I guess if you're an intern while you're still going to school, right? You're a med student.
No, I think.
And then you're an intern after?
You're an intern after you graduate.
So four years as a med student. And then when you graduate, you're an intern immediately. So that's your fifth year.
Yeah.
So let's assume that's 22. 8 years as a resident. You're now 30 years old, roughly. Or
No, because you're 22-ish when you graduate college.
That's what I meant. Sorry, yeah, 22.
And then you go to med school. Which is another 3 to 4 years, probably.
So, so med school is not the bachelor's.
Further
it's
education,
post.
No, because it's a doctorate degree.
Got it. You're right. I did know that. That was in my subconscious, buried deep. Okay, so 22, you graduate with a a pre-med bachelor's. Pre-med,
some kind of science degree.
Right. And then you have another, let's say conservatively 4 years. So you're 22, 26 years old now, mm-hmm. and you're graduating from med school. And then you're an intern for a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 26 to 27, now 27 years old. Then 8 years later, you're 35. And you have had a 3% raise. You're 35 years old, buried in student debt, making $75,000. Yeah. And then you hope that you're really, really good and you become Derek Shepherd or Mark Sloan and you're making millions of dollars a year after that.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy to me.
Questionable.
Yeah.
Again, in case we haven't harped on this enough, there are problems with our healthcare system in this country. And that falls all the way back into the way that doctors and nurses have to be trained and have to pay all this money. So then they have to recoup that money somehow. So we have to, it's just all messed up.
Yeah. Also,
capitalist,
if we totally
hellscape.
Yeah. If we butchered that timeline, by the way, like just shoot us a quick email to graysacademypod@gmail.com and talk to Kelsey about it. We are ill informed on some of these things, but we try.
Did not go to medical school.
We also did no research on this. Yeah. We just did a quick Google search on this, and this is what happened.
Got on the Dr. Google.
Yeah. So anyways, Alex and Izzy, the Airstream is a mess. They're clearly not having a good time. And Alex's first off, he throws a steak and beelines for the car. The bear doesn't give a fuck about the steak. He wants the human. Although Izzy's first reaction was, that's a 10-ounce filet I've been marinating for 3 days. Love it. Classic. Great delivery on that.
Yeah. I would love a filet. Let me say that.
I know. I'm like, do I want steak for dinner? I might.
We went to Ruth Chris Steakhouse for our anniversary.
Ooh, was it delicious?
Oh my God. I have never had to work so little to consume a steak. Like, I didn't even have to like push when I was cutting it. Just like rest the knife. It was like butter. And then
you get a filet? Like,
huh? Yes.
Yeah. Did Michael also get a filet?
He got a filet and a lobster tail.
Ah, classic.
Because he thought about getting just a lobster, but it was $56 per pound for the 2.5-pound lobster. So he opted for just the tail as an add-on to the steak.
Yeah, that's the best. When we were at the boathouse, I did the ribeye and I added on the lobster tail. Yeah. I'm like, treat yourself. Because work was paying for the first half of it. I'm paying for the second half. No, love that. I'm not usually a huge filet fan, but only because I need like a pound and a half steak to fill me up, and filets don't come that big.
Yeah.
So anyways, dangerous. What's the saying for bears?
Well,
if it's black, turn your back. If it's brown, lie down. If it's white, you're dead. Something like that. It's like the first two are catchy and the third, because if it's a polar bear, you're fucked. You're dead. They're one of the most aggressive. They will eat anything. They don't give a shit. Brown, if you lie down and play dead, they're not interested. And if it's black, you have to run away. Turn your back.
For illegal reasons, we have no idea what we're talking about. So this does
absolutely
not count as real advice.
This is not survival advice. This is just all speculation and hearsay. But yeah, brown bear, no. That's, don't fucks with the bears.
Me.
And then Izzy sees it at the end, but she did not believe him. She's like, oh,
she was
a deer.
Like, are you sure it wasn't a deer? I'm sorry. If you think your husband is stupid enough to think that a deer is a bear, then that is not a person you should be okay being married to
or being doctored by. Like, what the fuck?
A good point.
Yeah.
This man is so dumb that he could see a deer and think it's a bear. Let him cut you open. No, no, I won't.
Gosh, that's so funny. That's wild. But the thing that was crazy to me, and it was a good kind of in passing scene, but she's like, he wanted to move back to Meredith's, and she had said, I don't want to do anything that's moving backwards. I can't.
Yeah, which
I
is
get
fair.
It. And then when he gets a tick, which I've never had a tick. Why is that like a right? Like, what? Why are you? Should I have gotten a tick? I'll go find
so
one.
So many ticks growing up. I mean, did you play outside? It's probably a regional thing, honestly. Like, I grew up, the back of my house was forests. And so we would just always be playing in the woods growing up.
Oh,
and
no.
And so I'm sure that's why I had them.
No. And I don't know enough about ticks. I don't know if it's like once they latch on, they're like, they're not crawling around looking for the best spot. They just latch and they're like, I'll take whatever I can get.
Yeah.
So I have a fear of them going onto my penis or my butthole because I wouldn't know.
I don't know how they would have gotten there, but.
But Lyme disease is also like a big, because I guess Lyme disease is when you scrape off a tick on accident and the head gets in there and then it deteriorates and that's the Lyme disease.
No, I think Lyme disease they just carry. So if they have someone else's blood and then they get in yours, I think they just carry Lyme disease.
Hate that. Luckily Lyme disease is treatable.
Yeah, but apparently there's multiple strains and the typical doctor's office only tests for the most common. So you can test negative for it and then still have this undiagnosed chronic illness. And then I was reading about someone who finally got like really intense blood tests done because they like could not figure out what was wrong with her for years. And it was a different strain of Lyme disease.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
They need a Dr. House on that one.
She had tested for Lyme disease at her doctor's office and it was negative. So interesting. Wild.
I couldn't imagine living in a trailer like that.
No thanks.
Alex sums it up. He's like, I like plumbing. Like, I enjoy plumbing so much.
So much.
So much. And it's just so funny because it's real. That's how I feel. It's why I don't love camping. I will go out and I will do a log cabin and I will go.
Yeah.
I will be out in the woods. I will swim in the river. I will throw a life jacket on and I will go out there and have fun. And I'll walk across a river completely, which I have done before. Almost lost my dad to the current, which is not a made up story. Old man getting in the stream there, the river. The Wisconsin River. And I will go out, I'll fish, I'll make a fire, I will do all the outdoor stuff. But at the end of the day, I want to go back home. I want to shower and I want to sit in that AC. That's it.
Yeah.
So I get it, Alex. I feel it. I feel you. So I wonder where they're going to live. I don't know.
What's your prediction for Alex and Izzy just in general? Also, because, they pull the tick off of him. It's gross, but Christina does it and it's funny.
When they're in the lunchroom table, he is panicking. He is fully he's having a meltdown. Get it off me! Get it off me! I would too, though.
Yeah.
My prediction is they're not going to move back to Meredith's. But it is Derek's Airstream. I predict that they're going to get an apartment. Yeah. They're going to get an apartment somewhere. Maybe in the same building as Mark and Lexi and Callie and Christina. Same building. They'll all be in the same building. So.
Okay. Well, cool. We'll put a pin in it and we will finish the episode in just a few minutes, starting with everyone's favorite segment.